This is Twit.
Did you get up this morning and watch the Samsung Developers Conference keynote, Stacey?
I did not get up this morning to watch that. However,
I did.
I did see the news. Do we want to go into that? Because
yeah,
I can.
There's a foldable phone. That's what I was watching.
It, you know, it looked really cool in the demos, but then someone was tweeting how with the lights on, you can clearly see the line of demarcation.
The guy who was demonstrating it said, this is not what it looks like. This is, we've hidden it inside a case. This is normal practice with a new phone. Apple does it too. They hide them inside of kind of industrial generic cases so you can't see the details. But what he is showing is a phone that has a screen on the front, looks kind of like a thick normal phone. Again, we don't know how thick because of the case.
And then I'm getting dizzy watching that loop.
And then he opens it up and it's got one screen that has unfolded without any perceptible, you know, line down the middle.
So yeah, in the other video with the lights on, you see the line down the middle.
They demoed it in the dark.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a
so
little.
There was a tweet from someone in the tech press who saw it the night before during the rehearsal run through. But I did not like it, so it's possible I will never see it again. So I was paying attention to some of the smart things stuff because, you know, IoT.
That's when I thought of you is during the IoT presentation. They didn't mention security at all. They mentioned interoperability. That seemed to be a key.
Yeah, this is a different interoperability than they had pitched. So I've been watching Samsung do this for, 2014, CES 2014, maybe it was, or 2013, when Samsung's, who was it who keynoted? And he just was like, la, 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 Internet of Things, hand-holding, everything's going to be magic. This was kind of a return to that.
Yeah.
And the problem is they're grafting this vision, which is actually still very Samsung-centric, onto a platform that was designed for super nerds. And the super nerds hate the platform. And the normal people are looking at this and going, why the hell do I want my dishwasher to talk to my television?
Yeah, and the demo they used had a refrigerator with a screen bigger than this on it. I mean, it was huge.
So, you know, I could be doing Twig from my refrigerator one day.
I don't think so. I'm not a fan.
But yeah, so it's kind of a cool vision, but it's not as open as you would think. It's not as transparent how we're going to get there to normal people. You have to do a lot on the back end.
Right.
And I'm not sure if it's really worth it to people who aren't named Samsung. So that's my quick 20-second take there.
It seems like and Samsung really pushed Bixby as well. Their voice assistant said they're going to spend $22 billion on AI, hire 1,000 AI developers. They brought the former developer of Siri, who, of course, when Apple acquired Siri, left Apple and started Viv, which Samsung then acquired. He's still at Samsung. And really promoted the idea that Bixby's going to be in everything.
And everywhere. How do we think that's going to work?
I'm not having a Bixby, couple of Bixby phones for the last year, the Note 9 and the S9, with the hardware, dedicated hardware button. Never used it. But that was from a different era. That's when Bixby wasn't a competitor to Amazon's Echo or Siri. It was just designed to open apps on the phone, to do things with apps on the phone. Now it's supposed to be a full-fledged voice assistant, which they kept saying is smarter than any other voice assistant you've used.
And it could be with Viv. So if they do this right and they create a voice assistant where you're like, hey, Bixby, let me think of it. Have my doorbell contact me when the postman gets here, say something like that.
I like that.
And that actually works. And Viv actually makes that very easy to develop on the back end, theoretically.
That's what they showed. They showed a really nice developer environment. He booked a room on Mars at a hotel. It was very expensive. And that was the demo. And he did a little bit of magic, turned a tape tie into a real tie, which distracted me. But it's all wishing right now from Samsung. But you know what? This is a nascent technology. Amazon has the lead right now. Google's coming on strong. Apple would like to be there as well. Microsoft's given up with Cortana. They've really said, I don't think we're going to. They actually moved it to the Office 365 group this week.
Huh. That makes sense, though, because Cortana clearly isn't going to be in your home life. So it's only going to be your assistant for business. Right. I'll say for Bixby, here's where Bixby with the Viv could actually could win or do well. It's with creating those experiences in a way that's very seamless for the user and relatively easy for the developer. Because right now, if you want to do Amazon or Google, especially, Google's still a pain to develop for. It's a little bit harder. And with Viv, the theory is you would tell it, you basically use this AI, and I'm using that in big quotes here, AI, to understand what a user wants to do and automatically pull together the right APIs to make that happen. So if that actually does work, that could get them into a lot of places. Just because if I had one Samsung thing and I wanted to tie it to other things, it's possible that that might work. So,
yeah, it's for every one of these companies, it's an ecosystem play. And this is the thing that's a little frustrating. And it's one of the things that's held back IoT, in my opinion, is everybody's a silo. So there's always this promise. In fact, SmartThings started, was a Kickstarter based on the premise that we're going to be universal. We'll talk to Zigbee. We'll talk to Z-Wave. Is it still that universal, Stacey?
It would like to be. I mean, yes, it will talk to all those radios. Yes, they have features that will tie into other APIs if a device has it. The problem is people are not building things that tie into SmartThings. Instead, everyone wants to lock down their own APIs and make it like, oh, you want to talk to the Whirlpool washing? I mean, Samsung says they'll talk to anybody. And I actually believe that they would. But Whirlpool's not going to like bust its hump to be like, oh, yeah, let me have my appliances talk to Samsung appliances.
That's the problem.
And make sure they work.
It's the historic problem with home automation going back 20 years. Is everybody wants to own it. Everybody wants a silo. And all I see is Samsung saying, our silo, not Amazon's, not Apple's, not Google's. Our silo. And nobody wants to be... It feels like no consumer wants to say, okay, I'm just going to buy all Apple stuff. It'll all work better.
Yeah, well, consumers do actually buy all Apple stuff just to make it work better.
They're the only one.
Craziness.
That's the only company. Samsung, no, right?
Well,
are people loyal
to
Samsung and say, I'm only going to buy Samsung stuff?
Some countries.
I'm sure some, yeah. I bet in Korea, South Korea, they're really big there. It's not just, I mean, one of the problems is we don't have, that's what OCF was trying to do. We don't have the equivalent of a hypertext, you know, for the Internet of Things. So we don't have a data schema that everything uses that you can kind of build around. You have to do custom for everything. And that was the problem that we all saw back in 2013, even when Samsung was like, we'll be open, it'll be amazing. It's that doesn't scale. That doesn't scale beyond computing because the real world has so many more devices and things you have to care about. And the computing guys are, I don't know if they're willfully blind to this or what, but yeah. It's not, and there still aren't great use cases for some of this stuff. Like, you know, do I need my refrigerator to talk to my television? I really don't think so.
But is there an unused standard in this?
There's the OCF, which is long and storied and went through some efforts. And that's got Intel, Samsung, Huawei, LG are all involved. And that's basically a data schema for over 100 different devices. So it says basically like, I'm a light bulb. If you're a light bulb and you use OCF, it's going to say, this is how you recognize a light bulb. This is how it turns on, off, goes through X number of colors, dims, etc. You see Amazon took that and instead of using something like the data schema from OCF, they created a voice-related data schema with three different things, an on, off, a range, and a mode setting. So again, that's another way of doing it. And they exist. There's just a lot of them.
What would it take? I'm asking the two of you. For you, Stacey is actually a bad person to ask because you do all of this. You try it all. You've got blinds that won't open but could if Andrew would just say the right words, that kind of thing. But So maybe I should ask Jeff, but I'll ask you, Stacey, put yourself in a normal person's mindset. What would it take for home automation to take off?
I thought we were there. I thought way back in 2012 and 2013, I thought I saw the creation of those standards. It was all join. OCF was coming around the pike. And things like SmartThings that really did want to try to work with everything.
You'll agree, though, we're not there.
We're not. So it takes a universal standard. It takes cheaper devices, right? So at the time, you had devices that were very expensive. It also takes a really good and coherent communication of the value to an end user, which the tech companies just blew right past. Like, you can remotely turn on your Crock-Pot is a really crappy reason to spend $150 for like a connected Crock-Pot, right?
You're talking the guy who got Bluetooth pots and pans. I mean, it's,
right.
It's dopey.
And that's why you see things like security systems. Those do really well. You saw the Nest do well for a while because it had energy savings associated with it.
For a while. Why did the Nest stop doing well?
I think there's a very big price ceiling of number of people who are going to spend that much. And there you go, back to price.
But I think also it's just, like, if you could, Jeff, if you could move into a home that it was all set up and everything worked with your voice and it worked reliably, that would be okay, right? It's the idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, imagine when we had Cat 5 through the whole house. Right? But Stacey says it's right. It's about standards. And it's not just about standards that exist today. It's about standards you have the faith they're going to exist in 5, 10 years.
Even more basic.
My house
than
used
that.
To have an intercom in it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't issue standards, but it's but they were bad and they died and they're still.
Remember, people would wire speakers in their house? Yeah. They spent a lot of money to put wired speakers in there.
You're old enough to remember when people would wire speakers in their house.
I
have wired speakers.
Well, you're not, again, in no way do you represent.
Stacey, you are the queen of IoT.